The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Arts Development, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Battery and Tire Specialists, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Lowe's Wholesale, Marco's Pizza, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, New Life, Original Patties, Perfect Paint, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Thompson Trading, and The Rec Center.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you enjoyed your Easter holiday, had some spiritual reflection, some physical relaxation, and read up and ready to go. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also call us on 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. It has been a while. It has taken some time. This interview was scheduled for a long time. This was one of the Free National Movement's scheduled interviews, and we just never got around to it. I guess timing now is perfect, because I have with me today Dr. Dwayne Sands, who is the Free National Movement's candidate for the Bamboo Town constituency and is also the chairman of the Free National Movement. And of course, you know, he's one of our eminent heart surgeons in the country. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon and hello to your listening audience.
And I might say former Minister of Health in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It's been a while. We were trying to do this for a little while. But tomorrow, if I have my dates right, the House will be dissolved and all the seats in the House of Assembly will be made vacant.
So every member of Parliament will no longer be a member of Parliament, even though the executive will remain. And the country will then prepare for a sprint to a general election. And by the grace of God and the support of the Bahamian people, we will see a new administration and the restoration of hope to an ailing nation.
It's interesting that you mentioned the restoration of hope. The government makes a case that it has transformed the Bahamas. It has pulled the Bahamas out of an economic abyss, off a cliff, that it has restored confidence in government by improving the fiscal situation, the economic situation of the country, by investing in infrastructure, investing in people, and so forth and so forth. I mean, quite frankly, if you listen to it, why would not people have hope?
So, Chivago, you know, I recognize that I'm speaking to an eminent economist, a former minister of finance, and somebody who doesn't suffer fools. And yet, I can say to you that the government is speaking absolute rubbish. There was no fiscal cliff. The economy of the Bahamas was well on its way to emerging from the doldrums of the COVID COVID-19 pandemic, international economic. They did no magic. As a matter of fact, if we remember the parable of the talents, where, you know, this one is given X amount of talents, that one is given so many talents. And the question is, you know, what did you do? This administration has had the fortune of taking in more tax revenue than any previous administration in the history of a sovereign Bahamas. And yet they have, and I'm going to use my words carefully, very little to show. Ordinarily, I would say nothing to show. But there are no capital works to speak of.
The government says they have 14 airports built or under construction. 14 built or under construction.
They managed to finish one in Meguana, which was about, I think it was $250,000, okay? Mm-hmm. But ask the people of Grand Bahama, where's your airport? Ask the people of Exuma, where's your airport? Ask the people of North Eleuthera, Long Island, no airport. They promised a new prison, no prison. They promised a hospital in Grand Bahama and a hospital in New Providence. It ain't there. And I could go on and on and on. The electrification project, not complete. As a matter of fact, the current been off last night. It was off the night before for hours and hours on end. If you live
in New Providence?
New Providence.
Okay.
So, and not just for a couple of minutes, it was off for hours, I think 6 to 8 hours. So we don't know what they have done. And I'm not trying to create any kind of suspicion about illegitimate use of funds. What I can say is that the funds have not gone to paying bills to vendors. The funds have not gone to maintenance of the hospital. The funds have not gone to providing medication, dialysis services, etc. Where did the money go?
But surely something.
$1 billion in tax revenue this year.
Well, you know that almost half of that can go to pay civil servants to begin with. Surely the government paying some leases. Surely consultants have to be paid. Surely the debt has to be paid. So some of that we know where it went.
So if you have 3.9, let's say conservatively $3.5 billion in tax revenues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How is it that year over year you increase your national debt by between $500 million and $750 million? How is it that the Fitch report raises the alarm about the exposure of the government, sovereign government, to state-operated enterprises, thereby increasing their risk? Notwithstanding the fact that they maintain a stable BB negative rating.
I actually thought that Fitch's comments were off, because the government went to the parliament to borrow that money directly. So that's not even a guarantee or indirect liability to the government. If the government executes that loan to purchase that that power company, that would hit the government's the national debt directly.
As the people say, that's worse, eh?
It is worse. I mean, it's worse than they Fitch puts it, yeah.
So you remember the famous words, or the now infamous words, of McCain, I believe, when he was running in the American election, when he misspoke and said that the fundamentals of the economy are sound, right? What Bahamians know is that their own personal finances are not sound. And what they do not believe, despite all of the hype, is that the fundamentals of the Bahamian economy are not sound. Now, I am not going to use hyperbole and say that we are at a fiscal cliff. You know, you have spoken about how nonsensical that statement is over and over. What I can say is that this administration has not managed the tremendous resources that, they collected over the last 4.5 years in a prudent or reasonable way. And the Bahamian people have very little to show for all the tax dollars that they have that they've collected.
Relative to the pandemic, the fiscal circumstances during the pandemic, which understandably for this country and almost every other country around the world, took a significant hit. Relative to that state of affair, the Bahamas' the government's financial situation is improved. There's no question about that, relative to that. But that was an extraordinary circumstance brought on by an external event, not of our own making, but by an adjustment in our economic situation of our own making. We didn't break the economy, we turned it down. So when it was turning back up, the adjustment, the improved adjustment would have been expected by any sensible economist or analyst looking at the situation. But relative to the pandemic, the years before the pandemic, you have a different fiscal comparison than comparing to the circumstances in the pandemic.
So one thing that Rich did say is that this administration is unlikely to reach its target for a budget surplus. And none of us, no reasonable person looking at the fiscal affairs of the Bahamas, even if we use the the cooking of the books approach, which is legal, that says, well, you know, we got these $250 million of payables, but we ain't paying them right now because we don't need them on our balance sheet, eh? There will be no surplus. There will be no surplus.
There could be.
Well, let me put it to you this way. The minister.
If you want to do what you just said sufficiently, you could do it on the books.
On the books. And the only thing that I can say to those small and medium-sized and large companies that are giving zero interest loans to the government, because they're now not 90 days, not 60 days, but 365 days, 400 days, 500 days with accounts receivables that they're carrying on their books, that they have to go to the bank now and extend their overdraft or go and get loans. That may be what those companies ought to do is to seek legal redress against the government of the Bahamas for getting interest-free loans on the backs of business people. Because what they are basically doing is using these companies as a way of making the books look better. And we had this experience in 2017 when we came to office and found, I think it was $600 million in unpaid bills. And you will remember that the then Minister of Finance, Peter Turnquest, went to great pains to explain how we would now have to do significant borrowing in order to make these companies whole. And I'm afraid we're going to have to do that again. If, by the grace of God and the support of the Bahamian people, we take the reins of this country back in hand from the reckless, irresponsible approach that was taken by probably the worst Minister of Finance in the history of the Bahamas.
We're gonna take a break, our first break. But when we come back, I want to ask you, you and your colleagues are on the ground. You are moving about in your constituency, Mabambu Town and others. I want to ask you what you are hearing from folk as you go move through, etc. But when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're speaking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, chairman of the Free National Movement and Bambu Town's candidate for the Free National Movement. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid.
2026, presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th at the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, our heritage, our future, comes alive with the latest farming technologies, exciting cooking competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Corner, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for everyone. Bring the whole family and celebrate what feeds our nation. Agri Expo 2026. Let's get growing.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including VAT. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the six-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the
man, this weather done messed up the paint on my house, car, a boat. Now I gotta go all over the place looking for tins.
You never help but Perfect Painting. That's your one-stop shop. They got paint for boat, house, car. You ain't no.
All in one place.
All in one place. Number 102 Wolf Road, opposite Pairdale. Or call them 323-7821.
Ooh.
Man, they got high and low end paint and a good prices. So don't let them be running with special.
Really?
Paint supplies. Perfect Paint is the perfect choice. And you know how to say and go.
Yeah.
Perfect paint.
We are
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are speaking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, Free National Movement's candidate for the Bamboutown constituency, and also chairman of the Free National Movement. Dr. Sands, as I was asking before we went on the break, what are you hearing on the ground? Let's start with Bamboutown. What are you hearing from people?
Well, you know, I am new to Bamboutown, and I am absolutely overwhelmed by the love and support that I've experienced. And let me give you a typical scenario. My phone rings. Hello, Dr. Sands, you don't know me. I am a PLP, but I cannot vote for this administration. Can you come by my house so I can meet you and we can talk? Do so, a similar text, a similar call. There is a level of buyer's remorse, surprisingly, in the stronghold of the PLP, what was traditionally the PLP stronghold in Bamboutown. That's Kennedy Subdivision. And sadly, the experience that they've had with their member of parliament has not been a positive experience. And these are people that say, hey, we don't want much, but a lot of the concerns that we voiced about infrastructure, about flooding, about the roads, about the maintenance of the parks and so on. Understand that Bamboo Town enjoys or suffers from being crisscrossed by two of the busiest traffic corridors in the world. That's East Street and Blue Hill Road, eh? And the traffic challenges have not been addressed in any way. So if you have a couple hours to waste, go spend some time on Blue Hill Road and Marshall Road during rush hour one night. And you can see the level of frustration of the people that happen to live in that community. The response has been very, very, very positive.
Yeah, the critics of the Free National Movement sometimes refer to the administration stays and what it may or may not have done in those days. Why would a Free National Movement led by Michael Pintard be a better performing administration than the current administration and a previous Minnis administration, of which he was a part and you were a part?
If I may preface my response to that question, mm-hmm. there is no doubt that the Minnis-led FNM administration did some amazingly good things for the country and managed to navigate through unprecedented difficult times, and yet made some mistakes and hurt some people. We have acknowledged those errors. We have acknowledged the missteps and mistakes. And the Free National Movement has sought to honestly take stock of what was done right and what was done wrong. We've given credit to the former leader for his role in what went right, but we have also acknowledged that there were some things that were done badly. A Michael Pintard-led Free National Movement, we recognize that we have to not only be better than the former FNM administration, but we've got to dramatically improve on the disastrous so-called New Day administration, which means an absolute commitment to transparency, an absolute commitment to the people of the Bahamas to say that, look, this is your country, this is your money. We don't have the right to hide information from you about what we are doing with your hard-earned tax dollars.
You think that's been a big problem this administration?
Oh, it's been. When you can have a half a billion with a B dollars in no bid contracts, when you can enter into a series of public-private partnerships and you don't have the decency or courtesy to say to the people, oh, if the effective interest rate is 8% or 10% or 12% or 15%. Because the assumption is that the government is supposed to work in the interest of the people. But if the government of the Bahamas has entered into business deals where they are effectively paying these public-private partnership investors the same rate as what credit card companies earn, 20%, 18%, 22%, they've done the Bahamian people no favors. And understand that before these billions or millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of public-private partnerships, our interest debt service dollar amount every year is about $700 million, eh? Mm-hmm. So if you're paying $700 million just on interest alone, that's more than healthcare and education combined. When you then look at, okay, where does the rest of the money go? A significant amount of the money goes to pay salaries and benefits.
I would argue that the debt servicing is higher than that, because what you're seeing are interest payments on debts that are passed through the parliament by way of resolutions. But every private, I've made this point often on this show, every public-private partnership represents a payment to the private participant about the principal amount that they have in the interest and profit attached.
Right. So when we look at, and to digress briefly, the electrification process or project, we have here what the investors are making on this deal. Don't mind the 3,000 page drop. What we do know is that at the end of it all, based on the guarantees in the language released by the government of the Bahamas, that we will pay more for electricity in the Bahamas for the foreseeable future than 95% of the countries in the world. Let me say that again. Based on the guarantees that the government of the Bahamas has made to the investors that they included in the drops, so that they guarantee that this is what we got, that the non-fuel costs are going to be in the family islands, 22 cents here, 20 cents there, and so on and so forth. Then when you add the fuel costs, the Bahamas will be coming in at about 40 to 45 cents per kilowatt hour, which will put us in the top 5 or top 10 most expensive countries for electricity in the world. And that will be the case for the foreseeable future. This is the level of betrayal, and I'll use a very strong word, of this administration, who did this under cover of darkness, did not have the courtesy to say to the Bahamian people, this is what we are doing on your behalf. We're giving a sweetheart deal here.
It ain't darkness now, eh? It's been, the information has been tabled in Parliament, so that's how you can evaluate what it is.
Some of it. However, the effective return on investment, the effective interest rate to these investors is still a mystery. Still a mystery.
Well, I mean, the pricing, it isn't unusual not to know what an investor's return is. That's their business modeling. What you want to know is what it can cost the government. And don't you know what it cost the government based on what has been tabled?
But the even more painful thing, Shabbat, is the fact that ordinary Bahamians are being told you need not apply. Because if you don't have $49,500, dog eat your lunch. We're not interested in you participating in this. So unlike in previous instances where national assets were privatized, let's take the port, let's take cable, let's take other examples where ordinary Bahamians with $500 or $1,000 could become owners of the Bahamian patrimony. What this administration, who likes to claim that they are into the small man, that unless you got $150,000, give or take, sitting under the mattress or in the bank, you can't participate. And as you know, and as I know, there are very few either businesses or individuals in this country that have $50,000 knocking around that they can invest and that they can afford to lose.
But some would argue BTC didn't involve any direct ownership. Of course, I was a part of that privatization process. Some could argue there was no direct investment by Bahamians in BTC, even though there was a commitment to allow for 9% of BTC to be made available to the public post the privatization. That, of course, was skirted since the government the Ingram administration wasn't returned to office, and it was never taken up again by the succeeding PLP government.
So we have seen since the BTC misstep, a number of opportunities for the government of the Bahamas to get it right, and they did. So when we moved the port to Arawaki, Bahamians had an opportunity to participate. When the cruise port at Prince George's Dock came into being, Bahamians had an opportunity to participate.
Grandmama Power Company? Benny Merrill bought Grandmama Power Company, direct sales to the public, Bahamian public domain.
So there are many instances where we got right, even after not getting it so good the first time. So this is the latest example of the Bahamian patrimony being sold off. And what we believe is that in exchange for maybe $100 and something million, the transmission and distribution and generation assets of BPL has all been sold off. We don't know exactly how much to whom, but you know, I stand to be corrected if it's anything more than $200 million. And
go ahead.
And the ordinary average Bahamian, the unions, nobody has the opportunity to participate because this administration handpicked, hand selected the people that were going to benefit from this process, which is going to create generational wealth for the people that are allowed to participate.
We have to go to another break, but don't forget to ordinary Bahamians hold bonds from the new bridge that was built as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that was under Tommy Turnquest, I think, was minister then.
That was in the Ingram administration for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're speaking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, the Free National Movement's candidate for Bamboo Town and the chairman of the Free National Movement. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Markle's has the best.
No sauce cheese. 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 No.
Order Markle's now. We win on taste.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life, a health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease, located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Patties, cakes, breads, and pastries. Nothing compares to the original. Yes, at Original Patties Bakery, try the mouth-watering daily specials, jerk chicken and pork every day, chicken and mutton roti weekend specials, beef, chicken, tuna, and vegetable patties, Escovitch fish, Mondays and Wednesdays. Visit Original Patties, Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Howard Road, Blue Hill Road location, 6:45 a.m. to 11 p.m. Call 341-1871 or 341-6552. Original Patties Bakery, where quality is always job number one.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust. Potion, it's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
I go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that mean.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, chairman of the Free National Movement and Free National Movement's candidate for Bamboo Town. Just so you know, we have lots of texts, we have calls coming in. Free National Movement is paying for the whole show today, so you don't nobody get mad at me. When you see the man going to the end of the show, and they letting them know, people, this is times are getting funny now. But Dr. Sands, we have a caller on the line. Let's take that call first. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. Is it all right?
Yeah. You're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Sands, and welcome to the Airways and also to Bamboo Town. I actually drive past your new location on in and out of here. Because once upon a time, where I lived was once Bamboo Town. I'm just speaking generally. I like to know in terms of the communication with your candidates for all the other areas, whether they do come by and see the possible voters, because I know when someone passed by here, a group passed by, the S&M group, I made certain, I asked them that I would like to see the person who will be trying to be our representative in this area, and that has not yet been done. So I applaud what you said in your opening remarks, where persons send you a text and you follow up and see them. And so I just want to make certain that across the board, people get to know what's happening so they can have educated choices in decision making.
We got you. Thanks a lot.
In addition to that, I would like to say, please, I noticed the branding of the areas, the cleaning areas and putting up the signs. And I wish them that they could remain. So because I think it's not cheap per se, and so I would like the loveliness of the nice clean areas and even the colors that represent your party will stay and shine. That much I will say at this point in time, and I'm hoping that all goes well and the Indian public will at its war. Vote on facts rather than AI or any other thing.
Well, okay. Thank you, sir. One thing I can say that, yes, there's a lot of posters and banners and billboards going up. And one of the things that the Free National Movement will pride itself on is shortly after election, win or lose, we will take it down. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the amount of paraphernalia that is on display. It serves its purpose, but we also have to be mindful of the appearance of our environment. And it's a necessary political culture. We've got to protect the beauty and cleanliness of our communities. So they will serve a purpose. We only have 35 more days between now and May the 12th. And shortly after May the 12th, let's take them all down and restore our community to the level of cleanliness and beauty that we want.
Can I get a clarification from you? I saw something on Facebook that seemed to suggest that the Grand Bahama Port Authority only removed PLP posters and did not do the same thing for Free National Movement posters. Is that true?
It is not true. If I may, the Grand Bahama has a number of ordinances. They actually have a pretty civil...
Freeport has ordinances, right. Yeah.
There are rules that says that paraphernalia should not be erected until after the writ of election is issued. The writ of election will likely be issued a day or two after Wednesday afternoon when the House is dissolved. And so for anybody to put up posters, billboards, etc., they knew that was in contravention of the law. Or the rules, local city ordinances.
And anybody being FNM or PLP?
Anybody. FNM, PLP, COI, Constitution, whatever.
Right.
The Progressive Liberal Party went ahead anyway and put their posters up. We complained. The FNM complained. It fell on deaf ears. And our response was, if you allow them to do it, we will do it too. We will match them.
Mm.
At that point, the port... gave the Progressive Liberal Party take them down.
I see. So it wasn't that they put them up and then the port objected on its own. It was that they put them up, you objected, and then they made a complaint to the port, and then they decided to do something about it.
Correct.
Okay.
And, as the PLP refused, the port then said, okay, we will take them down, we will secure them, we will make sure that they're safe, but they cannot be up in contravention of the law.
Okay.
Once we saw that, we took ours down.
Okay. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. I'd like a little bit more elaboration on this misstep, as Dr. Sands referred to it, which I understand is BTC, given that I understand that at the time that the decision
BTC was not in Dr. Sandstow's time.
No, but he referred to it as a misstep.
No, he did not. He did not. No, he did not mention BTC.
What was the misstep that he referred?
I spoke about some of the challenges that we had in the administration between 2017 and 2021. You may recall that I served as a cabinet minister from 2017 to 2020. May 2020, I resigned from office. And
but
we
you
have
did
acknowledged
bring up BTC. And the
BTC had nothing to do with the Davis administration, and he never mentioned it. So let's not do that. He never mentioned it.
I think you're getting confused that we were talking about offering shares.
Shares in BTC, yes. Yes. But that was not a matter of missteps at all. He's definitely mistaken. That's not so. We have 1 minute before our news break. So if you want to mention something before that, then we go to news break.
You know, I want to encourage everybody to go out and register, despite the fact that it's an absolute disaster at all of the registration centers. I want to encourage people to withdraw the long lines, endure. What seems like the inefficiencies, because as challenging as democracy is, it's the best form of governance that exists. And we've enjoyed a peaceful democracy with peaceful transitions. So if you have not yet registered or transferred, please go ahead and do so at the multiple parliamentary registration department sites. You have just today and tomorrow, and then your voice will be silenced.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we continue our conversation with Dr. Dwayne Sands, Free National Movement candidate for the Bamboo Town constituency and chairman of the Free National Movement. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'll be speaking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, Free National Movement's candidate for the Bamboo Town constituency and the chairman of the Free National Movement. If you want to give us a call, folks, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-431 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-520. Speaking of the Family Islands, speaking of islands other than New Providence, Grand Bahama. What are you seeing in Grand Bahama? And what are you hearing in Grand Bahama? What's going on in Grand Bahama?
Well, you know, we talk about biting twins. We talk about biting triplets. Grand Bahama can bite quintuplets. That's five. From Marco City, Pine Ridge, Central Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, and East Grand Bahama. Grand Bahama, I believe, will go red. Certainly, the Progressive Liberal Party has demonstrated that they have a level of contempt for the people of Grand Bahama. We still don't know where the $120 million is from the sale of the Grand Lucayan. And if we knew, it certainly ain't in the bank, okay? The airport that they promised ain't finished, okay? They decided to pick a very, very public fight with the Grand Bahama Port Authority and lost, promising some $300 million was going up in the treasury. Money didn't end up there. So I think that this administration has decided that they have a particular disdain for the people in Grand Bahama. And I think that the people of Grand Bahama are going to show them exactly how they feel.
You have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, Dr. Sands, did you say the money's collected in this last 5 years was $17
billion? I didn't say that. The average return per year is anywhere from $3 billion to as much as $3.9 billion.
$17 billion is not an unreasonable
amount, but I didn't say $17 billion. I just wanted the caller to know that the basis on which we're trying to determine the total revenue collected by the government of Bahamas in VAT, import duties, license fees, real property tax, etc.
Yeah. Okay. I happened to have done a research, and I saw it somewhere around 15 point something billion, including the billions that borrowed. Now, I heard you all said that the service to debt is somewhere around $700 plus billion annually.
the interest payments on the interest payments on debt, direct charges for interest on debt in the name of the government of the Bahamas. We pay about $700 million per year.
Wow. That's a lot of money. So actually, this country is mortgaged to all the lenders internationally and nationally, and you know, ain't look like no end to servicing this debt, no line soon. So what is the plan, sir?
No, hold on. The debt is serviced. So let's be clear on that. The Bahamas government has never missed a debt payment, interest or principal. So that let's be clear, careful. The debt is serviced. What he was talking about is how high it is.
I'm not saying that
I listened to your comments, and you know, on this show, I try to educate people, so I don't want people to be misled. You said that it looks like there's no end of servicing this or something to servicing this debt. And I'm saying the debt is serviced. Okay?
Continually borrowing and having to service even a higher debt. That's what I mean when I say it looks like there'd be no end to it.
Okay, I got you.
Yes, sir. And when the government says that it wants to take on another $280 million of debt to acquire the Grand Bahama Power Company, you ask the question, why? Why would you possibly want to put that yoke around the necks of the Bahamian people when we have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed? It doesn't seem reasonable. You cannot borrow your way out of a financial challenge.
But the government boasts that the deficit has been reduced significantly since the pandemic, and so things are headed in the right direction. They say, you know, that the Standard & Poor's has commented on their positive fiscal situation. Fitch, in its report, talks with some positiveness about the government's fiscal consolidation program?
We have just come out of the Easter season, and most people have been down at the waterfront to buy fish. Mm. Not a single fisherman would call his fish stink, okay? What do I mean by that? The government is going to put a positive spin on anything. So they are going to say that, oh, well, yes, you know, we borrowed this money, but we did it because it's going to do wonderful things, because they have to justify it. But if you think about it relative to how much debt every single boy or girl born in this country today, tomorrow, next week, they are born with a huge amount of debt that they have to pay back. And so what we really need to be doing is figuring out ways to get our economy to grow, not at 2%, not at 1.5%, but at 4, 5, 6%. Now that's massive. That's explosive growth in macroeconomic terms, okay? But in order for us to do the things that we want to do, to make the kinds of investments in our infrastructure, to build schools, to make sure that our young people have opportunities for jobs, to make sure that our healthcare system performs as it should for our people, then we've got to get this economy revved up. And and will not do it.
You listen to Z Live.
I do. I do. And much of that growth will come on the backs of ordinary Bahamians, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, micro businesses that hire one or two people, that hire 10 or 20 people, that hire 100 or 200 people. Not the central government. Okay? What we've got to do is to get out of the way to allow Bahamian people to take risks, to bring down the cost of energy so that energy is not another mortgage. When you get your light bill and the light bill is $2,000 and $3,000 and $4,000, you start scratching your head and say, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can afford it. It costs everything to be more expensive.
The government says this program is putting the Bahamas on that course. It says that, it says that Bahamians are experiencing lower power bills.
Bahamans were experiencing lower power bills because it was January, February, March. The incremental or the unit cost for electricity remains absurdly high in the Bahamas.
We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Louis? Okay, this text says, good day. Can you please tell me who is the candidate for Nassau Village? I don't know who to vote for. Please knock on doors so the people can know who he is. Can you tell them who that is?
Gadville McDonald is the Free National Movement candidate for Nassau Village.
Okay, we had that caller drop off. Caller, if you want to call back, please feel free to do so. We have another number of texts. Let me get those. Oh, the caller's back. Okay, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, gentlemen. How are you, Mr. Sands and Mr. Lang?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay, my question is, I was listening early and I heard Dr. Sands, he can correct me if I'm wrong, he spoke about if the FNM government wins, what options they have in terms of restarting or pushing the economy based on how the PLP may leave it. And I know you mentioned lending or loans, but I'm here wondering and I'm listening to see if he would mention or what's the plan outside of loans, borrowers, taxes that we could then consider or to discuss in order to have a more better outcome in terms of adding debt to the people.
Good question. Thanks a lot. Good question. Go ahead, sir.
That is an excellent question. And I think Michael Pintard realizes that he has to break some eggs in order to make a new Bahamian omelet. So the idea of digitizing government is something that's going to be an important part of a Pintard-led administration moving forward. We are considering repurposing Grand Bahama or Freeport as a tariff bypass hub. You know, what we want to do is to look at tax policy in the context of the total cost of doing business, okay? We are going to make energy less expensive for Bahamians.
That's a promise.
That is a promise. That is a Pintard administration promise.
And you're not going to hobble the BPL to do it, because the government could always sell BPL charge less, but that don't mean it can make BPL any more viable as an entity. Hello, you're muted, Dr. Sands.
My apologies. I said we appreciate more reliable energy, cleaner energy, but Bahamians want cheaper energy. They want to be able to open their light bill, whether they get it electronically or in paper form, and not have a stroke. Because when you see that light bill and it says $1,200, $1,500 a month, and you're only paying $1,200 for a mortgage, it's a serious problem. So energy, we cannot be number one, number two, number three, number four in terms of cost of energy in the world.
I am. We're documenting it today. The Free National Movement will reduce the cost of electricity in the Bahamas if it wins the government.
The Free National Movement recognizes that crime and the perception of crime has a direct impact on the cost of doing business and the ability to grow our economy. We saw between 2017 and 2021 statistically significant reductions in most aspects of crime, and we intend to replicate that experience.
No, but I'm talking about your comment about power bill now. The Free National Movement, you indicated, will reduce the cost of electricity, yes, if it wins.
Yes, that is correct. And you know, some of the experience that we're having right now with the bump in energy costs, gasoline costs, etc., that some people say are unavoidable due to international goings on, a direct consequence of the tax policy of the Bahamian government. Because you do not have to put the duty and or VAT on every single unit of fuel that comes into this country. That is a choice being made by the administration. And that can be changed. That can be changed with the stroke of a pen by the Minister of Finance if he or she had a level of concern for the pockets of the Bahamian people.
Another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, brother Lang. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Right here.
Good. Dr. Sands.
Good afternoon.
Yes, this is one of your constituents in the Bamboo Town constituency.
Good afternoon, sir.
I pleasant to hear you on the phone today, but I need to know what I'm still trying to find out from you and nominated in Bamboo Town. What are you bringing to Bamboo Town that you did in Elizabeth Estates that we won one of them all? What different would you make in Bamboo Town? We are being led now by a lady, Miss Patricia DeVoe, the speaker. And I can tell you, sir, without a shadow of a doubt, I will have 99% of the people will call and say that this woman was doing a excellent job as the speaker. You know, being the speaker is a funny position to be in at times. You very much hear them in the parliament. But she makes herself known in the parliament that she's ready. But what are you bringing to us in Bamboo Town? So
No. You asked the question. It's clear. That's a clear question. Let him answer, please.
So, you know, I believe that representation should be exactly that. One of the challenges that the people of Bamboo Town have complained about is the inability to access their member of parliament over the last 4 years. And certainly from the time, if I am fortunate enough to be elected as the member of parliament for Bamboo Town, from during regular working hours from Monday to Friday, the Bamboo Town constituency office will be open, staffed.
You got to finish that voice, too. No. I got to finish before election.
But no. We're not doing that. Not doing that. Let him speak.
In order to deal with the concerns of the people of the community. And it will be open to everybody, not just FNMs, but PLPs, independents, COIs, everybody. We had the most aggressive social intervention program, I believe, in the country during my term as Member of Parliament for Elizabeth. And I think we learned some lessons that ought to be recreated. We had a wonderful after-school program with BJC and BGCSE preparation. We adopted every single one of the public parks. Sadly, in Bamboo Town, every park is in disrepair. And will need to be upgraded. I think that the public spaces are an important part of the covenant between constituents and the member parliament. These are just examples. And then we will tackle the challenges as it relates to flooding, roads, the fact that most of the roads are in a state of disrepair. I hope that gives you an idea, just a taste of what you might expect in a Sands represented Bamboo Town constituency.
Okay, has he gone? All right, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Do we have another caller on the line? No? Okay. We have some more text here, Dr. Sands. I want to get that. Good day, Mr. Lang. Ask him what FNM plan is for poverty.
Well, that's a very, very important question, and there is no glib or simple answer to come up with that. Probably the best way to combat poverty is to provide incentives to grow your economy so that the people of the economy can assist our brothers and sisters. Right now, a lot of people simply are struggling to take care of themselves. And so we've seen a bump in the number of homeless people, in the number of people going hungry. And we have heard the NGOs complain that donations have been down. A lot of times because businesses don't have it, private individuals don't have it. I ask everybody that's listening to this show right now, are you better off now than you were in 2021? Are you able to pay your bills? Can you pay your light bill? Can you pay your mortgage or your rent? Can you pay for your gas bill and so on and so forth? Can you pay your food bill? And I suspect that the overwhelming majority of people, if they are honest with themselves, will say, no, things are absolutely not better than they were.
Maybe not they're not better off, or no, they can't pay the bill, because most people will say they may be paying part of the bill, but they're paying the bill, but it may be a little harder, or plenty harder. which one is no?
Well, I mean, it's no, they can't pay their bills, or it's hard to pay their bills. We still have a significant amount of unemployment. We applaud the fact that the jobs report says that the number of unemployed people is down, right? But among the youth, it's still at about 20%. One of the best ways to eliminate poverty is to grow the economy and to provide opportunities for people, because the Bahamians want to be able to take care of themselves. You know, they do not want the government to give them nothing.
And insofar as growing the economy is concerned, you mentioned the digitization of government services. Presumably you think that will lead to growth. You mentioned getting out the way of business people in the country. How is the government in the way, and how would an F&M government take it out the way?
When you are trying to start up a business, maintain a business, you don't want it to appear as if the government is working against you, that it takes you 6 months to open a bank account, 3 months to get a phone, 2 months to get cable, and so on and so forth. If you reduce the bureaucracy, if you make it easier, one stop, you get all of your important documents maintained confidentially at a central depot. And then it's, let's say, Inland Revenue, please send me Shivago Lyons this, and this. His passport, his driver's license, his NIB card, etc. 1 millisecond later, Inland Revenue has it. Boom. Shivago Lyons can open up a business in 24 hours as opposed to 24 weeks. Okay? We're talking about efficiencies. And if we increase the efficiency and ease of doing business, then not only will Bahamians have it easier to establish businesses here, international investors will find this a more appealing place. The other thing that I think is very important that we don't talk enough about is the whole issue of corruption. And I don't want to get too carried away with this, but you got to reduce that to an irreducible minimum. So it has no place. It will have no place in a Pintard-led F&M administration.
We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good morning. Good afternoon again, gentlemen.
No, I have two people on the line. So let me let the other person go on first. So sorry about that, but you've been on already. Let's take the other caller, please.
Good afternoon, Shivago.
Hey, what's up?
Everything good, and good afternoon, I guess, Mr. Sands. You know, Mr. Sands is always, he's always had these good talks when you're in opposition. But what's going to happen, what ain't going to happen? You know, I've been long enough. I voted 8 times already in my lifetime. And every time a party get in opposition, they have so much good and sweet talks. You understand me? And then you were talking about Bahamians can't afford to do this, can't afford to do that. Let me tell you something. Bahamians can afford to do whatever they want to do, because at the end of the day, if they won't go to Miami tomorrow, they'll be on that flight tomorrow. The most important thing we need to happen in this country, we got to prioritize. And what's important to us and what ain't important. You understand me? Fuel going up, airline tickets going up, But over the airport, you couldn't find parking space. You understand me? Everything is back up. So we got to prioritize. That's what we got to teach our people, to prioritize instead of asking the government. When they get back here, they'll wait for government. Oh, we got to straight, we got to do this. That's what needs to happen in our country. We got to prioritize. Behemoth people, we can make it. You understand me?
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Sure, I'll give you an example, a real example, where there was a group of 26 graduate nurses just hired by the Ministry of Health and Wellness at Public Hospital Authority. Okay. They were promised by contract to get, as they waited for their licenses, $1,666 per month. We are now in April, and none of those nurses have been paid a dollar for the year. Okay? How are these young people, most of them women, supposed to live? They expected to pay rent. They expected to buy food, put clothes on themselves and their families. Okay? So if you ask the question, are people, professionals in this country, catching hell? The answer is absolutely. Why? Because this administration chooses to spend money on travel, on sweetheart deals for no-bid contracts, for travel up and down, and not pay the bills that they are obligated to pay. Because as far as...
It's a priority. And yes, things are going. Take a break. We're going to take a break to pay our respects to our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Dwayne Sands, Free National Movement, candidate for Bamboo Town and chairman of the Free National Movement. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. This CARIFTA 2026 update is brought to you by Gold Sponsors Island Games and Thompson Trading, distributors of Lysol. Silver sponsors Thompson Trading, distributors of Del Monte, the Ministry of Tourism, and Little Caesars. And also brought to you by bronze sponsors, Master Technicians, Nassau Motors, Grace Kennedy Money Service, CFAL, Shield Insurance, Y-Cares, Lowe's, Battery and Tire Specialists, distributors of Valvoline, Perfect Paint, Basalt Fiber, New Life, Original Patties, and by the Work Center.
Kristen Joseph and Isabella Cucurulo were once again standout performers for the defending champions. Joseph added three more medals to his total to enter day four with a whopping total of seven individual medals, including six individual gold medals and one bronze. Here are his thoughts after his win in the boys 13-14 200 meters individual medley.
Tell me about that race just now.
That race was a hard race. I really had to push hard to the limit to win that gold medal.
What do you have next coming up tonight?
The 50 brush. And then 9-3.
And how do you stay motivated to continue the race tonight? Especially after a difficult race like that.
I remember last year, and I didn't do too well. And I got out touched many times. This year, I changed that around.
You said it was a difficult race. What was your strategy on getting out the pull away from the rock?
Kick hard on the brushwood.
Cucurulo kept her momentum going, swimming away with wins in the girls 13-14 200 meters individual medley, the girls 13-14 50 meter breaststroke, and the girls 13-14 200 meter butterfly finals.
Tonight, Team Bahamas, a bronze, talk to us about the race.
The race was great. It was a hard race. There was a lot of competition, but I think I pulled through and got the medal for the Bahamas. Racked up a good point, and I didn't go down any spots, and I stayed in the spot I was in prelims, so I'm pretty happy.
You have the three individual medals now. How does it feel?
It feels great. I'm planning on getting hopefully two more tonight. Tonight is my big, big night. Yeah.
It remains to be seen if Team Bahamas can haul away its eighth consecutive swimming crown. This was Sanaa Sweeney reporting for Guardian News Network.
This CARIFTA 2026 update is brought to you by Gold Sponsors Island Games and Thompson Trading Distributors of Lysol. Silver Sponsors Thompson Trading Distributors of Del Monte, the Ministry of and Little Caesars. And also brought to you by Bronze Sponsors Master Technicians, Nassau Motors, Grace Kennedy Money Service, CFAL, Shield Insurance, Y-Cares, Lowe's, Battery and Tire Specialists, Distributors of Valvoline, Perfect Paint, Basalt Fiber, New Life.
The following is a paid patties. Political...
Kalani, boy.
That was a paid political message.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy. And spicy is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first. Guaranteed to pay
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start. From the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Planning a day at the beach? We supply a wide variety of beach toys, floats, and pails, now at 15% off. Protect your family from the harmful UVA and UVB rays with copper-toned sunblock at special low pricing all summer long. Partying with friends and family? We have you covered with Kingsford charcoal for all your grilling needs. With four convenient locations to serve you at Harbor Bay, Soldier Road, Palmdale, and Southwest Plaza. Happy 42nd Independence, Bahamas, from Lowe's Pharmacy, where we care about your health.
Mom, that's a solid Dickie suit set, eh?
Yeah, the white center got them in long and short pants. And they got shirts and polos in all colors for the guys and the stylish ladies' outfits for us.
I like in there. My husband is getting all the uniform for his staff from them.
Their staff good, too. Helpful, you know. Everyone knows Dickie's clothes strong. They durable and is wear well.
The Work Center on Rosetta Street, across from Roberts Furniture, your leading distributor of Dickie's workwear.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand,
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Come back. Rectified. What's going on? Maybe let's take a break and then we could resort to a different. We're good now. Hopefully the audience thinks so. We're here with Dr. Dwayne Sands, the Free National Movement's candidate for the Bamboo Town constituency and chairman of the Free National Movement. As you all know, elections are scheduled for May 12th. The House will be dissolved on April 8th. That's tomorrow. After that, we expect a writ of election to be done. That a writ is the Governor General telling the returning officer to go ahead and conduct a poll of the country's voters to see who they want to represent them in each constituency in the House of Assembly. When every seat in the House of Assembly shall be made vacant, there should be no members of Parliament. And the only time you'd see the same members of Parliament is if we have some emergency in which the Governor General has to call the House of Assembly back into session. Other than that, you ain't got no members of Parliament. You got government ministers who have to maintain the government until we've decided what we want to do during the general elections. Dr. Sands, we still have quite a number of texts here for you. So let me...
Let them rip. Where did the time go? I don't understand where the time went.
My brother, you have no idea. This text says, Mr. Lang, as an FNM, I want to see the campaign ads and commercials go on the offensive. Please remind Dr. Sands that to win this election, the PR team needs to highlight all of the missteps of this PLP government, including using the Prime Minister's own words in some ads.
Well, you know, that is actually pretty easy. And I want to say, at the risk of sounding somewhat, cynical. I try to pick my words very, very carefully. But we have watched this administration do certain things, not in the best interest of the people of the Bahamas, but in the best interest of the Progressive Liberal Party. And one of the areas where people are most offended is with the apparent use of naturalization and citizenship. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but Bahamian people are offended by the apparent transactional nature of the use of citizenship to improve the chances of the Progressive Liberal Party in the upcoming election.
You think that the Progressive Liberal Party in this administration has exercised its power to grant citizenship more robustly or aggressively and partisanly than any other administration? You don't think that this was just business as usual?
I sat on the Immigration Committee. As you know, that is the cabinet of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly every single application that came to the cabinet while I was there, we debated, discussed, etc. And if the numbers that we are seeing on a daily basis is any measure, then there is no doubt about it that beyond a shadow of a doubt and without fear of contradiction, this administration has used the immigration process as a tool, as an absolute tool. And we could only believe that it is to improve their lot at the poll.
Well, I did hear Minister Fred Mitchell say in the House of Assembly, so anybody want, it's on the record, he said, he was really saying that, you know, these people, meaning the foreigners, Haitians, and others who have come here, they've contributed to building the country. And then I heard him say this. He said, and those who speak against them must know that it will cost them the election.
Yeah, I mean, let us be very, very, very clear that there are persons who have contributed mightily to this country that have an entitlement to citizenship. But a Pintard-led administration has taken a position that if you come here illegally, there will be no path to citizenship. No path, no possible path.
So if you've been here, if you've been here in Bahamas 30 years, 20 years, 25 years, and you're illegal, despite the Haitian Accord that the Bahamas signed in 1983, I think it was, you will not grant citizenship.
We are talking, you cannot undo an entitlement that somebody has. Okay.
So, all right.
But if you're talking about going into the streets of Port-au-Prince and elsewhere and identifying persons for fast tracking, that is a problem. So if you live,
people doing that?
We believe that they are. If you know of people that live in Angleston, if you know of people that live in elsewhere who have contributed mightily to this country, they went to T.G. Glover, they went to H.O. Nash, they went to C.C. Sweeten, they went to C.R. Walker. They know of no place other than the Bahamas. But they've been trying for years, can't get their status, okay? Can't get a job, can't open a bank account. That's a very different situation than somebody that couldn't tell you where Bay Street is, couldn't cite the Pledge of Allegiance, couldn't sing one bar of the national anthem.
And can't tell you it in English.
And they definitely can't tell you it in English. But you got a new brand passport and an NIB card and a driver's license and a purple voter's card? Child, please.
We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. I just basically want to ask the chairman something reference to. Without a shadow of a doubt, we've been hearing that a Pintard administration, as soon as you guys get in, you're going to do what is called right-sizing. I've heard that terminology used before. Those persons
who... You didn't hear that from me.
No, I know I didn't hear it from you. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Where did you hear it from?
I'm saying to you, I'm literally telling you in the terminologies of, I may be using it in an aggressive way.
Yeah, but no, but you got no. But in fairness, no, sir. With the greatest respect to you, in fairness, these things have meaning when you say them. I'm asking you. So you're saying you didn't hear any leadership of the FNM say right sizing. You're saying you heard something else.
Yes, I said. That's what I'm saying. Okay. And I want to make sure that is understood. Those persons who are currently right now working for the government, do we have any fear that once an FNM administration comes in, that our jobs or any jobs can be on the line for?
No, unless, and I can say this as plain as day, okay? If you go back to 2017, when there was a drayload of people that were hired by the former administration, okay? What we said is if you're showing up to work and you're doing your job, you have nothing to fear. But if you stay at home and you're collecting a salary, the Bahamian people should not have to pay for you. And so it doesn't matter. One thing I can say about this leadership of the Free National Movement and others in the past, okay, is that we govern for everybody. Everybody got to eat.
And just a minute, with the greatest respect to the caller also, if you understand how the public service works, you cannot just fire anybody. You cannot. Any permanent and pensionable established person. No. If you understood that, you would never say anyone. You would never say that because you know that's not possible.
Question, and I'll clarify. I'm talking about
I think we're done. We have other callers on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello, how you doing, Chivago?
Good man, what's up?
Chivago, I wanna thank your guest who's on.
Good afternoon, thank you.
Resident of Tall Pines. And we're talking a little bit about the hospital conditions. What I don't understand is as much as Bahamian people think that the Minister of Health has failed, why is it that Brave Davis still ran him? But on that On that note, I also want to say something that's important, Shivago. Very important. Why don't we implement something in the hospitals that can actually help the Bahamian people? This isn't politics, but this is people's lives. Why don't we bring in some retired nurses and police officers to help manage some of the things? And when I say that, what I mean is to sit at the desk and help manage and control some of the situation, even psychologists. Because some of the chaos is that people are very disgruntled when they get there and unable to calm down because of being impatient and also because of service. Now, I'm going to say this, and I say this with the utmost respect, because I've had to go to the hospital several times. The young doctors and nurses are very professional.
Mm.
But the administration on how things are run sometimes are very unprofessional.
All right, good. That's a good point. Good points. Let's let Dr. Sands respond to it because we're running out of time. Go ahead, Dr. Sands.
Let me start with the premise. Agree with the assessments that our public health care, acute care facilities are the worst that they have been in decades, whether it's 20 years or 30 years. And I have been working at Princess Margaret Hospital in Iran for the last 30 plus years. They are the worst that they have been. And it falls down to leadership. I'm not talking about leadership at the Princess Margaret Hospital. I'm talking about leadership at the level of the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Health and Wellness. The buck stops with them. Michael Darvill has been a dismal failure in health. And what has happened to our healthcare infrastructure, our healthcare staff, availability of supplies, vendors getting paid, and on and on and on is nothing short of a disgrace.
Hey, I have a text here, says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I've heard Dr. Sands speak to and about issues concerning healthcare and PMH, but wasn't Dr. Sands Minister of Health, and can he speak on his record? Or
I am happy to speak about my record and what we tried to do and what we did is a matter of public record. What we accomplished, I'm quite proud of, considering the resources that we had and the state of affairs. We bought back a number of beds that were out of commission. We placed new CAT scans in both hospital, new mammogram machines, repaired leaking roofs at Princess Margaret Hospital, repaired the air conditioning system to bring back the operating rooms and acute care facilities at the new critical care block. And I could go on and on. If the caller wants a listing of the accomplishments from the time that I took office in 2017 till I demitted office in May of 2020, my email address is DwayneSands1962@gmail.com. I will send it to you.
We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Dr. Sands, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you, sir.
You know, if I'm calling from Grand Bahama, right? I know after Dorian destroyed the Grand Bahama, and under your tenure, the Rand Memorial Hospital was completely renovated from front to back. The whole thing was renovated. I also know that under your watch, the FNM left, I believe it's $90 million in place to build a brand new hospital on the existing site in Freeport, in the back of the Rand Memorial Hospital.
And in New Providence.
Under this administration, Dr. Darvill and the House of Assembly said we gave the money back for the money for the hospital. We didn't use it nowhere else. We didn't do nothing. We gave the money back. So again, under a Michael Pentad-led administration, and I'm being a little bit presumptuous, you being Minister of Health, explain to the people of Grand Bahama in particular, what will the health service look like under an FNM administration, please? I'll hang up and continue to listen.
Thank you. I think what we're going to have to do is to restore the plans for a purpose-built healthcare facility as well as primary care services for Grand Bahama. We have some space at the Rand. If you drive at the front entrance of the Rand next to the emergency room, There's a modular building which has never been used because it's mold infested. It's a waste of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. And we still have no explanation as to who got the money. But it has never, ever been able to be used because of the amount of mold that is in that structure that will have to be torn down. But the concept of either identifying a green site or a multi-level structure on the existing campus in order to deal with the options in the event of a, God forbid, another Dorian or Dorian-like event. We also have to add services to Grand Bahama, like cancer care or oncology, like cardiac care. Grand Bahama has evolved, but it has not evolved adequately. And it is time for Grand Bahamians and people in the Northern Bahamas to not feel as if they want state-of-the-art care, that they've got to hop on a plane and travel either to New Providence or to South Florida.
We have another. We're listening to you. I remind you, we are running out of time. Do we have another caller? Doc, we got to do rapid fire. I'm going to read and you can respond. It says, I'm glad you said it. Anyone with common sense would know comparing COVID to the present would an automatic uptick. The economy was dead, so any little bit of breathing would be a positive trend. We have to compare pre-COVID conditions, okay? This text says, what does dissolution of the House prevent? New registrations or any change?
Everything other than correction of inaccuracies on the register. So you can no longer transfer, you can no longer register, but if there are errors on the register, it can be corrected up until the time of the final register.
Yeah, no name added in terms of the new registrant, or no name added and or transferred, etc. The only, as he said, only corrections. So if you are doubtful about your status for voting day, you need to get done what you need to get done before the writ goes out.
You got until 8 o'clock tonight, and then until the end of business day tomorrow. After that, your opportunity to vote is gone.
I think the registrar, those who are doing stuff up to 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm told, right?
Well, you know, it's going to be up to the commissioner to determine how late they will take people, if the people are in the line, whether they're going to let them register or whether they're going to cut it off. I can't speak for the parliamentary registration department. What I can say to people is, carry a cooler with some water, with some snacks, and go stand in one of them lines. But get registered, because there are people that died, there are people that fought for the right to vote. And this election, like 67, like 92, this is an election for our times. And the future of the Bahamas is going to be determined by how you vote on May the 12th.
I have lots of messages. We can't get to them.
Who is aggressive, who is prepared to be disruptive with the state, but who recognizes that this election ought to be about working on behalf of the Bahamian people, working for you, not just for the few. And while that may sound like a cliche or a slogan, it is honestly what underpins all of the 41 candidates across the length and breadth of the Bahamas. We are pleased that we have more women vying for office than ever before in the history of the Bahamas. We got young people. We've got business people. We've got physicians. We got a couple of lawyers even. We have people in the orange economy. We have people that look like you and me. And what we realize is that this Bahamas ought to be for Bahamians, that Bahamians ought to be able to participate, but most importantly, that they ought to be given the respect of knowing what's happening with their country, its country's finances, and the decisions being made. So go out and register. And when you do register, vote FNM.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We've been talking with Dr. Dwayne Sands, Free National Movement candidate for Bamboo Town and the chairman of Free National Movement. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a fantastic afternoon.
Did you know that Valvoline's MaxLife not only protects against friction, but also leaks, deposits, and sludge? The four major high mileage engine breakdown. Long live your car! MaxLife is the first lubricant specially formulated to protect the engine of your high mileage vehicle. Visit us today and see our full line of Valvoline lubricants, chemicals, and antifreeze coolants distributed by tire specialists located 7th Terrace, Centerville.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255. 267